Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats, silence your cell phones, for you are now listening to Much Ado About Wrestling!
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show where professional wrestling is always at the top of the card. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, the whole effing show, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you doing?
Oh, man, I am good. I am good. I'm going to need you to remind me, whose gimmick was the whole effing show?
That would be Rob Van Dam.
That was Rob Van Dam.
Later, Jerry Lynn was the new effing show. Nice. I think that was the entire storyline between them.
It's weird to think of Jerry Lynn as the new effing show when he's as old as he is.
Yeah, I think he's older than Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's got to be like a few years older. But that's okay. Welcome to another episode here. It's been a busy week in just the world of wrestling. We have a word of the day we're going to get to later, but we have like some stuff we got to probably address at the top.
Just a lot of things, a lot of releases, a lot of just a whole big news in the professional wrestling world. It's amazing how quickly this stuff happens.
Yeah. Is the most important thing that there's no way that you can possibly win your Ty Dillinger bet now?
I mean, again, I knew it was coming. This is just like the someone closed the hatch on the lock. So that's all right. At this point, I've determined I'm just got to find the most annoying way possible to pay my friend $100. I'm thinking like 10 separate $10 gift cards to 10 different stores.
Oh, I like that.
I think that'll be a good one.
Yeah, go to one of those walls at like Best Buy or Walgreens that just has a bunch of random ones and be like, enjoy your Cabela's $10. Yeah. So Ty Dillinger did ask and was granted his release from WWE. Hideo Itami also had his release granted. TJP, the first Cruiserweight champion, also released, although we don't know if he asked for his release. Is that the most shocking one?
I mean, it was shocking just because we didn't hear anything about it. We knew with Ty and Hideo that they had requested it and then they were granted it. TJP was just really out of the blue. They were like, oh, by the way, TJP's gone.
Yeah, he wrestled on 205 Live this week.
Yeah, too. Yeah.
So it's
so that was a shocker.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I think the more shocking thing is here, I'm amazed that they're granting so many releases.
Yeah.
Because we had just spoke, it's not a week or 2 weeks ago, about the wave of WWE wrestlers asking for their release and a lot of them not being granted. The first name that comes up for me is the Kanellises. Not to say that they're not great wrestlers, but like I would think that given their position and how they've been utilized in WWE so far, like sure, why not release them, you know?
Yeah, I'm starting to think maybe that the reports of them asking for the release was maybe bunk.
Oh, yeah, because, yeah, Maria did post and say, like, don't believe everything you hear and all that.
And then they've been featured on 205 Live recently, too, but, I mean, so is TJP, and he's gone.
Yeah.
And then I think we had said that the Revival asked for the release. I still kind of believe that.
I believe that, and I totally understand them not granting the Revival their release.
Yeah, that's the one that makes the most sense that AEW would have flipped for positive gain. I think we should also touch on quickly the maybe or maybe not call-ups of four of the NXT six. Monday and Tuesday night, we saw Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Aleister Black, and Ricochet all featured in matches. And Triple H was kind of coy with whether or not these are true permanent call-ups for them or not. What did you think of their debuts?
That's my answer. I'll be honest, I was not a fan. It was, I love all four of those guys, and I think this was a complete misstep. Like, they just totally, like, you only get one chance to debut, and that was not the right way to do it for any of them.
Technically, they got two chances because they did both a Monday and Tuesday night.
I guess so, yeah, yeah, if you think about it that way. Well, none of them were done that great. I will say that their SmackDown debuts were a little better. Like, Aleister Black had a much better match with Andrade on SmackDown than he did with Elias. Ricochet did great in both matches, but I don't know. It still feels like he deserves better. And then, of course, the whole Ciampa Gargano fiasco. To me, that was just like, how blind can you be to like your own company's product? Like,
yeah,
these guys are clearly in the middle of a multi-year blood feud, and you're like, nope, they're a face tag team now.
Yeah, although they've been... The face part is what's weird, because they were, yeah, they've been kind of circling each other still on NXT mm-hmm. TV, but this it was weird to see them against heel
tag
teams.
I was not a fan of the whole thing. How did you feel about it?
I felt like none of the issues I had were with the performers. Mm-hmm. Michael Cole really had an off.
Oh,
off
yeah.
Time.
Oh, my God. Everything he said about Aleister Black was just weird.
Yeah. I don't know if that was other people's words in his ears, too. Because we've seen Michael Cole do one-off spots announcing NXT people before, and he's been fine. So that was odd to me. And also, the real blame, and I almost never want to blame the fans, but the Raw crowd on Monday mm-hmm. was maybe the worst crowd ever.
That crowd was very, very lackluster.
Yeah.
It was in, was it Lafayette?
Yeah, it was in Lafayette, and then Tuesday was in New Orleans, and I feel like you could really feel the difference in size and enthusiasm between those two towns.
Maybe Lafayette is just, like, not a wrestling town, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one that I would take off of the live TV circuit, maybe.
Yeah, that did not go over well.
I think that's part of, like, that this idea to bring the four up, I think it was a like spur of the moment decision.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least according to the dirt sheets,
because I don't think that is a town that you want to debut mm-hmm. anybody in. No offense to Lafayette, Louisiana.
Especially not for almost unheard of guys to the main roster crowd. Like,
yeah, it's odd. The timing of it is maybe the most shocking thing to me. Just with us being so close to WrestleMania and so mm-hmm. close to NXT's WrestleMania show, that you have to imagine that those four people are still going to be featured
on
the NXT show, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's already a really crowded roster, you know, releases aside, and to try to shoehorn them into a WrestleMania match would be difficult. Although I guess we've only had a few matches this far that we can pencil in. We'll get to that a little later. There's one more bit of news that I'd like to talk about, that's very breaking news. You were probably too busy shredding it on guitar to see this, last night. We have our first official match on the New Japan Ring of Honor G1 Supercard.
Ooh.
So
tell me.
It is the first time, I'm going to build this up. It was the first time that we are going to have a champion versus champion match in Madison Square Garden since 1980.
Ooh.
And it is the first time that we will have world tag titles defended in Madison Square Garden since 1960.
Ooh.
And what we're going to get is the New Japan Pro Wrestling, well, not New Japan Pro Wrestling, the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Champions, the Gorillas of Destiny,
mm-hmm.
will be going up against the Ring of Honor Tag Champions, the Briscoes.
Heck yeah, I'm down for that. That's going to be a good match.
I feel like that, I hope that gets placed after, if there's a match that's kind of a sleepy match, having these four people come in there and beat the crap out of each other, it's going to be real fun.
Gnarly. Oh, man.
I'm just happy that you're going to get to see your beloved Tongans in person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's all the kind of news that we had. Oh, wait a minute. Is it? No, we got one gigantic piece of news we need to discuss in our first segment.
Story.
So our word of the day later is going to be main event. So in true main event fashion, that's going to be later in this episode. We got to get through our undercard issue first. We have something we have to address, and that thing is another Tongan, or Samoan, rather. It is Roman Reigns. So WWE.com and Vince McMahon on Twitter reported that on tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw, Roman Reigns will return to provide an update on his battle with leukemia. And then he will, that's going to be in Atlanta. And then he will also be on Good Morning America the following morning to talk about this in New York. So starting with the big question, what do we speculate that this update is going to be?
I don't know. I feel like a return to the ring, even if he is ready, if he is medically cleared, I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on that now.
It seems quick, right?
It seems quick. And I mean, I'm not sure what like the, you know, standard or estimated time for someone to be out for that kind of thing. But I just think with the storylines they're working with, and granted, they're not super great storylines at the moment, but I think with the storylines they're running into WrestleMania right now, they will want to wait to bring Roman back till after Mania, probably the Raw after Mania, because that's a great way to bring him back into the fold with like a huge reception. But then also you can immediately, that's your story going forward after Mania. I think if anything, it's just going to be a feel good moment of him showing up and being like, hey guys, I'm doing good. I'm great. I'm going to be back soon.
I'm glad that you brought up the great reception he's going to get. Mm-hmm. And this decision, if it is a positive thing, which I think it probably is, because I don't think it would be a negative thing he's going to say, because I don't think he would be going on Good Morning America if it was like a truly negative.
Oh, if he was coming on to say like, I'm not coming back, or
yeah. Or like, it's going to be longer than I thought, or
turned for the worse.
Yeah. I don't think that's the kind of stuff that Good Morning America likes to feature. So I think it's gotta be positive, or it's gotta be promotional. But you mentioned the guaranteed giant pop he's going to have when he returns. And this feels like a short-sighted decision to me, because you're going to leech some of that off the top for this appearance. So if he's not coming back to wrestling full-time this Monday, then when he does eventually do that, you have to try to get that pop out of people again. There's this, like, the absence of him is a big part of what's going to make that pop.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see them stretch out that goodwill. But I imagine that the update will just be like, things are going well, and that the story isn't really an update. The story is to get him involved in the Seth versus Brock storyline, because Brock is absent, as Brock is wont to do. And Seth has had some injury problems in the last few weeks and basically has to really shut it down until WrestleMania. So I think it's like, well, here's the only options they have to build that storyline in person right now are Dean Ambrose, who, if you believe it's not kayfabe, he's 1 foot out the door.
Yeah.
And then I think it's like Vince really calling in a favor.
I wonder if Dean is actually 1 foot out the door and contract up after Mania, do you think that they would utilize him in a storyline leading up to Mania, at Mania?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're already paying him.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the star power, I guess, like, and it makes sense within the storyline, like, why not use up every last bit, you know?
Yeah, and if you think he's not going to AEW, if you think he's going and he's gonna take some time, like, real time off, then I think you don't have to put him on the bench, basically. I just think that it is a situation where there is a story to be told of all three of these guys will now have faced Brock at WrestleMania, that Brock normally gets the better of them, and this is the last opportunity we have to see the Shield. Each one of these guys will have a personal storyline that's interesting going into it. You know, there's a great final WrestleMania image potentially of the three of them. Tall. Yeah. Standing over Brock Lesnar.
That would be good. And also, I mean, if you think about it, if Dean's actually leaving, like, this could feasibly be the last time we see the Shield.
Yeah. So yeah, ever. Although never say never.
Never say never, of course, but
So Dave Meltzer had an interesting tweet about all of this that I'd like to talk about, because it's also something I didn't think about at all. He said in his tweet, quote, "The scary part is I'm so accepting of the uniqueness of the company that I didn't care until a sports writer friend told me how if this were done in a real sport, it would be considered a level of sleaze they'd never sink to. When put that way, it did become clear." So, is there a way that this move isn't sleazy from WWE? I guess we have to try to put in the context of, like, if another sport were to have an athlete. Okay, so let's say in basketball. Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to think of, like, the equivalent of it.
So, like, Magic Johnson retired in the early 90s because he had HIV, right? And then he came back a few years later for, like, a small run out of retirement, but he announced all of this in, like, an impromptu press conference. I think what the sports writers are saying would make it sleazy is if actually there's a better example of this in basketball. LeBron James being like, I'm going to leave the Cavaliers to go to the Heat in free agency, but I'm not going to just do a press conference to announce this. I'm going to make it a primetime 30-minute television program that we're going to hype for weeks. Mm-hmm. And then it's the decision. And people did hate that.
Could that be compared to the same thing? Because, like, we're still talking about the idea of, like, Roman coming back to announce this update, right?
I guess that's the closest thing I have, but it doesn't have the... Because the real-life danger of a health scare involved.
Because I was thinking, I mean, like, I guess maybe within, like, a real context, like, say if we just... It was purely the same thing. If LeBron James got a horrible injury and was out for a season and then came back before the next season to be like, hey guys, I'm doing better or something, like, would that be sleazy?
No, but if you use it to
purely for promotional purposes, to better your ratings or something like that, I could think about it that way, which honestly I do think that is the primary motive for WWE right here.
Oh, absolutely.
The primary motive is that our ratings are not great. We're going into the most important time of the year for us. We need as much promotion as we can get.
Is it only sleazy then if it's really bad news?
If it's bad news, oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes. That is the definition of sleaze. That is Joey Ryan sleaze right there. But
Joey Ryan also seems like such a pleasant person, though.
He is, I guess, man.
You can tell us about that in a second.
Yes,
we should
yes.
close the door on Roman before we hop into Joey Ryan.
Yes, yes. So that would be a very sleazy thing if it is negative. But I don't see them having Roman come out on national television and be like, guys, I'm really not doing great. Like, that just, I don't see that going over well on any account.
Yeah, I guess the comp for that would be Daniel Bryan announcing his concussion-related retirement. But that, they did promote it, but it was only like a few hours before the show.
Yeah, and also that has precedent with, like, Edge doing his retirement in the ring. Because, like, even though it is,
which,
like,
wasn't promoted at all.
Yeah. Even though it's always like a I'm retiring due to injury, it's always like a weird feel good moment too. How freaking wild would that be if Roman comes out to, like, Monday night and just like, guys, I'm retiring?
I think
how wild would that be?
It could happen. I don't think it will happen. It could happen, but I think if he were retiring, he would still be involved somehow in the WrestleMania main event, and we would get that, like, Shield send off of, like, two of the brothers are gone, and here is Seth.
Dean leaves for whatever he's leaving for, Roman has to retire, and Seth is the last man standing.
Yeah, that's what it would look like if you were retiring. But again, I don't think that's what's going to happen, but I guess we'll figure out tonight.
Interesting.
Do you want to quickly, before we hop into our word of the day, we're going to push it off a little bit more. Do you want to talk about meeting Joey Ryan?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think it's last weekend, I attended an awesome indie wrestling event in the Northern Virginia area. Specifically, the event was for promotion Nova Pro, which I'd never heard of before. I had never seen one of their shows. But it was a blast, man. I had so much fun. I'll be honest, a number of the wrestlers, I were not aware who they were. The only names I recognized were Joey Ryan, of course, and Veda Scott from Ring of Honor. But it was a blast. It was a great show. I did get to meet Joey Ryan.
Yeah.
I got a sweet pin. I had to buy some merch from him, and then I got a picture of him that I sent to Andrew. I was like, yo, check this out. And your response was great. He was like, oh, man, you know, I always thought Joey Ryan was taller.
Yeah, I felt bad saying that. Joey, don't get mad at me if you hear this. But I was like, oh, man, Tyler, you look like you could be his heater.
But nah, he was a wonderful guy, super nice, super gracious and everything. It was it was a blast seeing the show.
Was there anybody on that show who you had not seen before, who coming out of it you were like, oh, that guy or that girl?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So there's an amazing faction right now in Nova Pro called the Ugly Ducklings. And I couldn't exactly tell you what their gimmick is. Like, they look like a cross between, like, so it's a tag team and then they have a manager in tow. And so the tag team looks like if the Briscoes and TM61 were fused together.
As in, like, they were, like, smaller Southern boys?
They were
boys?
Smaller guys around the size of TM61, but they just looked like they had been left outside for a couple days.
Okay, so they looked dirty.
They looked dirty, yeah. And then their manager, like, he was the best part. He was kind of like a heavier set Danny Burch, I guess, which is kind of a weird thing, but no. Oh, so like,
I just looked them up now. They also on Twitter, I want to say that their handle is at Three Mother Duckers, which is great.
They were super good, and so they were clearly like a huge face team in Nova Pro, because the rest of the crowd, who I assume frequents the shows somewhat, like they were very over. My favorite part about them is their chant is the Mighty Ducks quack.
Oh my gosh, that's
loved
so
it,
perfect.
Man. They had the whole crowd going quack, quack, quack. Like, it was
so this
brilliant.
This is Lance Lude, Rob Killjoy, and Coach Mikey. Coach Mikey is
Coach
a great
Mikey.
Manager yep. name.
They were a blast.
They look super fun. I almost wonder if they started a little bit as like a Duck Dynasty type
thing. Maybe, honestly.
They got the beards for it. That's
yeah,
I'm judging it only on the picture.
Yeah, I wasn't getting that vibes. If they were, I would, like, it would have to be something akin to like the New Day, like where you start with a gimmick and then that evolves into this weird thing you never expected, you know?
Yeah. They look pretty fantastic.
It was a great show. I had a good time. That was the first wrestling event that Sarah had ever been to.
Oh my gosh.
So a lot of the time I was like trying to like get her input and like see how she was feeling about it, and she had a blast. She loved it.
How was the turnout for it?
It was pretty good.
Was this at an Arlington?
This was
like,
in
high school?
Annandale, Virginia.
Okay.
And it was a great turnout. It was in like not a high school gym, but like something akin to that,
like an armory.
Yeah, like a smaller sort of venue. But it was a good turnout. It was a solid number of people. I want to tell this one quick, and then I promise we can get into the word of the day stuff.
Yeah.
So leading up to the show, this is of course Sarah's first live wrestling event. So she has a lot of questions, and like she's getting kind of nervous because we did get front row seats.
Yeah, I've never done that before. I assume
I've
you
never
hadn't.
Done it. Yeah, that was first time I had been front row, so I kind of wasn't sure what to expect either. So she was asking me a bunch of questions. She was like, "Oh, you know, like what about this?" She was like, "What if the wrestlers like come into the crowd? Like, what happens?
Get out of the way."
And I was like, "Look, just be prepared to possibly pick up your chair and move back if yeah. anyone starts, you know, getting ready to tope out of the ring on us.
If Fenix, because didn't he just take out somebody recently?
Oh,
the show just like
Ray
destroyed
Phoenix?
Someone. Yeah.
Oh, that one. That's actually a wild story behind that. The woman he took out is the owner of the company.
I didn't know that.
That
yeah.
that was a whole story in itself. That spot. But so I'm like giving her these pointers. I'm like, and I made the mistake. I sent her some clips of PWG mm-hmm. to like show her the idea of getting up and moving when they dive into the crowd. But it didn't really help because like PWG was one of those rare monsters where like sometimes, yes, the wrestlers would totally land directly on you.
Yeah. And they also like were, there wasn't so much space between the apron and guardrail.
Yeah,
PWG
exactly.
literally
yeah.
on the ring. Kinda.
Yeah. And so she was a little nervous, but the one thing I was like, look, no matter what, the number one thing that I can promise you is they will not touch you. Like, they're not going to hit you or grab you or touch you in any way.
Just like any good amusement park, like
exactly.
the performers or haunted house, they won't touch you.
And she was like, okay, that's fine, that's fine. But main event, mm-hmm. there is the heel of the main event. I don't remember his full name. I remember his name was Logan, and his gimmick was basically EC3. He was the one percenter. And he was facing...
Was it Logan Easton?
Probably.
Does that sound right?
Probably. So him, he was clearly the heel, versus the face, I believe is Alex Jones, honestly. They called him AJ, but he was clearly the face. And so at the beginning, when the heel comes out first, Logan, and he's in the ring, and we had some streamers, so like people are throwing streamers in the ring, and he's a heel, right? So like he's like, nah, I don't want these streamers. He's like picking them up and ripping them and stuff. And so at some point he rolls out of the ring to like walk around, and he's walking around like right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so he picks up one of the streamers, like a full rolled one that hasn't really unraveled itself yet, and like chucks it into the crowd. But when he does that, it literally crushes Sarah directly in the face.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Like, directly in the face. And she was fine. Like, it was just a streamer, so it didn't hurt her or anything. But she was just so shocked. Like, it hit her, and she was just like, what the hell? And I felt so bad. I was like, God, the one thing I told her wasn't going to happen.
You were such a liar.
I was such a liar, man. But so the only thing I could say to get out of that, I looked at her, and I was like, man, what a heel.
Way to keep it together on
yes.
that one.
That's, but it was like, a blast.
There was a time that my mom was in a hockey game and got hit by a puck. And that was like, I feel like it's that same kind of thing that you're like,
way
there's no way this is
streamer.
Ever going to happen. And then it just did.
Was there damage? Man, hockey pucks are... Ooh.
I don't remember. I was like 4 years old.
Okay.
So I wasn't there. They came home. It was like a minor league hockey game.
Yeah.
They were the Dallas Fire, I believe. We were living in Texas at that point, and she got hit by a puck. But maybe yeah. it was far. She was far enough away that like it kind of lost its steam.
Hopefully,
by
man.
Then.
That's like getting. That's like someone throwing an iPhone at you.
Yeah, I feel like if it were really bad, I would have remembered
yeah.
that time that mom was in the hospital because she got hit by a hockey puck. Mm. But that's all. That's all to say. I think we've got to our word of the day now. It took us 39 minutes, but or 28 minutes, but we got there.
We got there.
But that's okay. That actually makes sense with our word of the day, which is the main event. So this is a noun in two different ways. It's a noun. It can either be the last match on a wrestling card, or it could be the attraction that people come to see. Did I leave anything out in there of what the main event is?
I mean, that's the perfect summation of the word right there.
So there's similar types of things in combat sports where, you know, UFC has main event matches that are longer in the number of rounds than normal matches. Same thing with boxing. And I guess in wrestling, you kind of expect the main event to go on a little bit longer than other matches. What would the main event be in like a play or a movie?
The main event, depending of course on the movie, on the genre and everything, the main event is usually the climax
yeah.
of the film. So let's say going with a movie, Infinity War, Marvel. In theory, like, if you really think about it, the entire movie Infinity War is the main event to the story of that the Marvel Universe has been telling. But to keep it in a more a smaller sense, the final battle at the end of Infinity War, where they're battling against Thanos' army on Wakanda, like outside Wakanda and everything, that's the main event. This is what the entire movie has been building to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think superhero movies in general, the dramatic structure is pretty well laid out to show mm-hmm. this main event, that it is like you finally get the antagonist and protagonist yes. in a room together. You're finally going to see them fight. This works too also in like things that aren't fighting based. Like the main event of a romantic comedy is what's your favorite romantic comedy, Tyler?
Oh man, favorite romantic comedy. I gotta say 10 Things I Hate About You.
That's a perfect one. The main event of 10 Things I Hate About You happens like a minute before the end of the movie, and it's when after Heath Ledger's character has professed his love but in a time of conflict, then Julia Stiles' character professes her love with reading that poem of 10 things that she hates about Heath Ledger, and then they kiss. The main event's usually like the kiss, finally. Yes. We could do this with every kind of genre, but it is literally...
No, since we're here, Andrew, what is your favorite romantic comedy?
Oh, man. I really like When Harry Met Sally, which has got a great one. Main event. It's similar to the main event in The Apartment, which is also a romantic comedy I like, although the comedy is kind of dark. In mm-hmm. that they both have the same main event, which is one of the characters realizes that they're in love with the other character so much that they have to drop everything that they're doing and run to them on New Year's Eve. Actually, like literally both movies have exactly the same thing. And then the characters leave where they are and run across New York to get to the person and tell them that they love them. Like that is the main event of that one. Mm-hmm. So it's the main event is the thing that you remember. It's the thing in the video packages and the still photographs that you frame.
It's the reason you came.
It is the reason you came. So in the sense for a movie, it can also be a person. You know, you see some crappy log line for an action movie and you're like, ugh, I don't care. But then they're like, well, Will Smith is the lead. And you're like, okay, I'll go. Movies worked for most of the last decade. If Will Smith was in it, you would go. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how this works in music. I feel like that's a thing too. And mm-hmm. being that you just had a show with Turbo Mansion, mm-hmm. this leads me to ask, like, I feel like the main event is the way that you build your set.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how do you guys go about making your set list, or like, do you have encores? Do you approach the encore as the main event?
So I wouldn't I wouldn't try to say that we are plan out the sets very well, or there's a whole lot of insight that goes into them, but they do have a structure. For our specific discography, we have a lot of like fast punk songs that we play, and then we have some like slower melodic ones, and it wouldn't make sense within any structure to have, oh, we're gonna play a really fast song and then a really slow song and then a really fast song and then a really slow song. Like the up and down of that, just it's not conducive to someone enjoying, I think, it. So we do have a structure to it, and I think at least for us when planning a set, We try to base it in terms of like, okay, there's like quantifiable ways to figure out what's our most popular song, like
what
has the most listens, like,
okay,
things like that.
That data.
So, exactly. So we will take that in consideration and be like, okay, well, we'll save this one for last because this is the banger. This is the one everyone wants to hear.
Ah, you saved the best for last. The Vanessa Williams strategy. I think she's the one who sings that song.
And honestly, the entire idea with Encore is do we feel like it?
it's if you have energy left, you
do
encore.
Do we feel like it, and will the sound guy let us do it?
Gotcha. You don't do like a fake encore where you're like, we're going to pretend to leave the stage. And then,
no,
like,
no,
right
no.
Back
maybe
out.
One day, because right now the process of us leaving the stages that we play on is a lot more complicated than that.
There's
no curtain for us to walk behind. We have to walk down through the crowd. And
I saw Eric Hutchinson a number of years ago at Jam and Java in Vienna, and he did that thing where he got to the end of his set and he was like, I really hate the idea of an encore, but I know that you guys love it, so I'm gonna pretend to walk off stage and you guys are gonna clap for like 10 seconds, and then I'm gonna come back out and finish. And he walked
kayfabe, man.
He walked off stage, he was still kind of visible, and he was like, I'm pretending that I can't hear you, and then walked back on. So that, I guess, is the main event of of a concert, and why
that's
you see so
fun,
many
man.
Big hits kind of like left to the end. So in terms of wrestling, it is like you wait to the end to do your big hits. And it's also kind of how WWE built their programming before they had weekly TV. And it's how the territory days worked, where you had one star who was your main event, and he was in the main event. And that's whose face would be on the poster, and that's who you would pass out flyers about. And anyone else on the show, a lot of it wasn't even announced. It's weird to think about today, where like we know exactly what the card is before going in, because even for big shows, not that long ago, you would just know the big match or maybe the second big match. Does the main event, in your mind, Tyler, does it need to have a world title attached to it?
There are people who would argue yes. I am not one of those.
Oh, okay. That was going to be my next question, is like, are you one of those people?
I think that it's... I see, I'm conflicted in that. I always kind of feel that the title should be in the main event, because otherwise, why does it matter? Why is that your top title? Why should everyone in your promotion want to be the champion if not to be the main event every night? But there are, of course, always exceptions to the rule. The perfect example that comes to mind is literally the entire 2018 of NXT TakeOvers was headlined by Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. Tommaso Ciampa did not become the NXT champion until the later part of 2018. So for the entire more than half of the year, that main event was not for a title. It was purely a blood feud. And when done correctly, when the feud has the weight and the caliber and people care enough about it, absolutely it doesn't need that title. It's the main event. That's why I'm here.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm looking at the list of the history of NXT TakeOvers in their small history. And other than the War Games pay-per-views, where the War Games match is last, those Gargano-Ciampa matches are the only ones that have main evented without the NXT championship involved. And actually, never mind, there's one more, but it also involves Johnny and Tommaso, and it was the ladder match for the NXT Tag Team Championship.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
if anything, it's just a testament to how good Ciampa and Gargano are.
Yeah, so listen up, Lafayette. You gotta... give them some love next time
you see
them.
You have some stars on your hand.
Yeah. It is weird to me that some people are above the title. And I think that it's definitely very true. But it really hurts the show. Like, they work so hard to get people like that, but then it makes having a match for the title impossible. I mean, Elimination Chamber happened last week. And I think the response to that main event was really, really good. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that.
It was a really good main event,
yeah,
too.
But it's the first time that the WWE Championship has actually main evented a pay-per-view in nearly 2 years.
Wow.
So is that a return to greatness or not? Is this like a one-off just because Brock couldn't be there? Or?
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm inclined to believe this was a one-off. And again, I don't want to confuse the listeners. When we say that the WWE Championship hasn't main evented in 2 years, that's not because the WWE Championship has always been their top title. It's because the Universal Championship has almost replaced it as the top title. But then there's this weird thing of like they're technically on the same level in terms of prestige, but like
the lineage is way longer.
They're not really, yeah.
And there's been a lot of instances in the last year or two, and especially on big pay-per-views, of non-title matches. When you have two world titles, still having a non-title match main event. I mean, you've had Roman Reigns as main event the last few WrestleManias, and they haven't always had a title attached to him. The Undertaker has this record. I mean, he's, I guess, bigger than a title in the truest sense, where his matches against Triple H and Shawn Michaels sometimes have been the last matches, even if they didn't have a title attached to them as well. And I don't know. It works for those matches. It makes those matches really memorable, but I can't remember much of anything else on those cards. So is that good then, that we have something that we remember?
Yeah, it's hard. It's weird. 'Cause I think if you think about it in terms of, did I get my money's worth? As long as it's a great match, a memorable match that you're going to remember and like be glad that you came, mm-hmm. and who cares if the title's in it? It doesn't matter. But I think, and again, like this is purely just from a sense of like kind of being a wrestling purist, but like what's the point of a world title if it's not the main event? Like if it doesn't matter, then why have titles anyway?
So you know? if I were going to hand you the book, I'm going to give you a very specific moment in history where this happened. If I give you the book, would you keep the world title match of Triple H versus Chris Jericho as the last match of the night at WrestleMania 18, or would you switch it with Hulk Hogan versus The Rock?
I would see the, and again, there are always exceptions like that. I would 100% switch that match. There's mm-hmm. that match had no business being the main event.
And it's crazy because on paper, you have the guy who just beat the two biggest wrestlers WWE had ever made, and Chris Jericho beat Steve Austin and The Rock in the same night to become champion. And it was his first time as champion, took him a long time, sided with Stephanie McMahon, who's an amazing heel. And then they're facing Triple H, who had come back from injury to win the Royal Rumble and, you know, have been gone forever. And this was the most loved that he was ever going to be.
Yeah.
Going against his wife. And that, I don't remember anything that happened in that match. And I've seen it many times. Like,
if you told me right now that Chris Jericho won that match, I'd have been like, yeah, sure, absolutely.
Chris Jericho did not win that match. You know what I remember? I remember that Drowning Pool played Tearing Away to lead into that match.
Oh, my God.
Like, played it over a video package, and then they entered.
Oh, that's great.
But, I mean, you had The Rock versus Hulk Hogan, which did not have nearly the storyline buildup. It was just, mm-hmm. hey, we have The Rock and we have Hulk Hogan returning, who you'd never thought you'd see them fight.
Yeah.
And that
arguably became the two biggest stars who ever, like, to ever come out of this sport.
Yeah. And that just, it didn't matter what anyone else did. That was going to be the thing. We're making it sound like only WWE is guilty of this. But they're not. Hip, cool, young people like AEW have done this too. At All In, the match that card was built around was Cody versus Nick Aldis for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, the arguably like oldest world title in wrestling. Yeah. And that match went on in the middle of the card.
It did. Arguably the weirdest spot for it. You'd think either let's open the show with it or would be the main event. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about that decision?
it's a weird one. I think that and honestly, I don't know. This is purely just opinion. I think the main reason that it was not the main event was I bet a lot of it had to do with the fact that Cody probably felt that, hey, since I am putting on this show, since I am promoting this show, it doesn't give the best message for me to put myself in the main event. You know what I mean? And I think it was the same with the Young Bucks. I'm pretty sure they did not want to be in the main event. They did not want the tag match with Coda to be the main event. Yeah. But here we are, you know?
I wonder if they knew that they were going to have timing issues going in. And wanted to end with a high-octane six-person match that could be 6 minutes if they needed it to be.
Yeah, I think that works because it was good planning, and that if there was time constraints, I'm totally okay with having a rushed six-man tag over having a rushed NWA title match. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm going to be, like, robbed if I get a short title match compared to the latter.
Yeah, which is an interesting point to bring up. Not exactly something we were going to talk about, but I think an interesting way to look about the main event is if you have a match like Hogan versus Rock that should be the main event but isn't, you put it earlier in the card so that you know you're going to let it do its thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Because
you can dedicate as much time to it as you want.
Yeah, because then you got to rush the actual main event. Mm-hmm. A time that this was done really poorly was WCW Halloween Havoc 1998, where the second big pay-per-view match ever between the Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan was on that card, was seemed to be a built-in main event type thing, and that match went way longer than it was supposed to. So then you had the main event that people actually cared about, the actual main event, the champion at that time, Goldberg, facing Diamond Dallas Page in a match that was really good, and the feed went out like 5 minutes into the match.
Yeah, oh man.
And I don't know how you come back from that as like a company.
So. No, that was definitely another one of the nails in the coffin of WCW.
We're going to get into a lot of those right now because I think it's time we should run down, like, what are the most important and memorable, for good or bad reasons, main events in wrestling history? We've already gone through a handful of them here. Which one really sticks out in your mind when you think of a main event in wrestling, Tyler?
I mean, the biggest one for me that, I mean, there's no way around it. We've talked about it multiple times before. It's got to be WrestleMania 3, mm-hmm. Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that's the best example of an entire event being yes. based around one match.
Arguably, I'd say arguably the biggest match in professional wrestling.
Yeah, simply just from like weight.
Yeah, not, no. Not the best match by any means, but in terms of like the promotion behind it, the story behind it, like the magnitude of it, the longevity of like what it meant to the business going forward, like
that's got to be the when you think of wrestling, you think of that match. I think even when you see wrestling portrayed in media, in like movies, unless it's Fighting With My Family out now, 96% are on Tomatoes. Unless it's that, even if it's modern, a movie that has like a wrestling match in it, it tends to look like Andre versus Hogan in 1988, you know? I think it's important to talk about also main events that mattered on TV, on like Raw. Because that is a way that Raw used to be timed out, is that the main event, whatever went on last, was really important and could make a star. It certainly made Mankind. His first title win was against The Rock in a match that involved the Austin and McMahon storyline, involved Generation X. It was the WWE's best example of let's put all of our most important people in one segment.
Yep. And it worked.
It worked so well. And it was taped. It wasn't live. And WCW at the same time on Nitro had their biggest, most hyped match in quite some time. And they're like, we're going to put it on TV and we're going to put it up against this other thing, and we're going to tell you that this is what's going on. They revealed the results live on air at the beginning mm-hmm. of their show. They said Mankind's going to win the title.
The WWE results, that is.
Yes, yeah. They said, this is what's happening on this other show that's taped. you don't want to watch that. That's garbage. You want to stay here. And unfortunately, everyone was like, actually, that sounds pretty good.
What's the numbers? They always talk about it. It's like at that moment, 200,000 people changed the channel or something
Yeah, it's something crazy. And then after that, WCW never beat WWE head-to-head in the ratings ever again after that. And part of that is because you can't promise these big... If you're going to build a show around a giant main event that you can't miss, you have to deliver. And the main event that they put up was the Finger Poke of Doom.
Ugh.
Do you want to explain kind of quickly what the Finger Poke of Doom is?
No. I don't.
It wasn't really a match, is maybe what
it,
we can
it
say.
It wasn't. It was advertised as a match. It was frustrating because like it was advertised as a match and like there was like you kind of were excited for it, right?
Yeah.
And then
you're excited to see the NWO implode on itself.
Exactly.
And finally,
but we didn't get that.
No, we did not. A good one and a bad one that I want to mention really quickly that maybe wouldn't be the first ones that come to mind but are important in my mind are Jeff Hardy versus The Undertaker for the, at the time, WWE Universal Championship on an episode of Raw.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
The Undisputed Championship.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Undisputed. Yeah. Did I say Universal?
You say Universal. Yikes. I was like, wait, what?
No. Oh, boy.
When did that happen?
It did not. It's soon to happen. No, Jeff Hardy versus The Undertaker for the WWE Undisputed Championship at that time in a ladder match on Raw. Jeff Hardy had never been anywhere near the title scene and went out and had a banger of a
main
event.
Was that his first title match?
I imagine it has to be.
It very well might have been, yeah.
One of the best televised matches I've ever seen. Go back and watch that one on the network, people. And overnight, it made Jeff Hardy a credible title contender out of nowhere.
A main eventer, you might say.
A main eventer, because that's the word of the day. But then you have the flip side of that, and this is an interesting thing in what makes a talent, a main event level talent versus not, is that you have to make sure you have your shit in order. So Jeff Hardy was in a really hyped up match for the title against Sting at TNA in Victory Road 2011. This match is infamous for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. How would you explain what happened?
Oh, man. This was one of the hardest matches I've ever had to watch. And not because like it was a hard hitting match, just like it's sad and awkward. And so this match, essentially what happens is Jeff Hardy is extremely inebriated. I believe he's drunk. He's high on all kinds of pills and other drugs. And it's amazing. Like when you hear like interviews and stuff about the backstage going on, and I think, who was it? Because Eric Bischoff was in TNA at the time, right?
Eric Bischoff ran down to the ring. Because here's like the timeline is.
Yes. So Bischoff tells an amazing story about this leading up to it. So leading up to the match, they're trying, like before they even go out there to start, they're backstage looking for Jeff. They can't find him. They're like, where the hell is Jeff?
And Sting has already come out at this point.
Exactly.
He's in the ring.
Yeah. And so when they find him, Eric Bischoff tells the story. He says like, I could visibly tell like he was so messed up and in no condition to go out there. But he was like, against my better judgment, I said the show must go on, and I sent him out there.
Yeah, so his entrance music had been playing for over 40 seconds before he came out. Mm-hmm. And in a crazy thing, and you can go back and watch this, it's on the video, the referee, Brian Hebner, threw up the X sign, the sign for a wrestler is injured, threw it up before he got to the ring, because he could tell that
he just wasn't like he wasn't responding to things like he was so messed up. And the quote unquote match that happened next, like it was just a horrible, like awkward two guys stumbling around, not exactly understanding what the other one's doing. And the culmination of it was a Bischoff did run out to the ring and didn't he like came out and like he like kind of stopped the match. He like got in the ring.
He like tried to do a promo, but there was no point to it because he didn't. He just was like, I have to go out there and stop it, and I'll figure it out when I get there.
Yeah, yeah. And he said in interviews, like he had, when he was in the ring, like he had walked up to Jeff and he said something along the lines of like, Sting's going to hit you with a Scorpion Death Drop. You're going to go down for the three.
Yeah.
And oh man, it was just so painfully awkward.
It's a terrible reaction live too, because everyone's upset. Including Jeff later. I mean, he knew.
Arguably, Sting was the most upset.
He was real pissed. You can see the crowd immediately starts chanting bullshit.
Yep.
And Sting just stands there going, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. To like all of them. He's like, I agree. It is bullshit. So that's how not to do a main event.
No.
Are there any other big ones we should call out? Or not. We're at 55 minutes. We could be... Mm-hmm. Okay with this.
I mean, there's a lot of big main events. Like when you think about in terms of just like marquee matches, like these like bigger than life matches. Of course, like Andre versus Hulk, Rock versus Hogan. I would say Austin versus The Rock was another marquee one at WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, that had an amazing build, and I mean the rest of that card was really good, which is maybe why we forget that it was built just around. Them too. I mean, all of the early WrestleManias that were built around Hulk Hogan, Hogan versus Savage, and then Hogan versus Warrior were both really great. I'd say maybe those are the only ones that are really great.
Yeah.
More recently, WrestleMania 30 being built around Daniel Bryan was really good, but the win was taken out of it because of The Undertaker losing earlier in the night.
That's an interesting one, though, because when you really think about it, WrestleMania 30, the main event, it was not built around a match. It was built around just a person. Daniel Bryan was the main event. Now, whether he was in a match, two matches, tag match, like a Royal Rumble, it doesn't matter. Daniel Bryan was the main event of WrestleMania, which is why, in theory, we didn't really need to know like exactly what was going to happen going into WrestleMania 30. We knew he was going to have a match with Triple H. That's about it. But
yeah, we had a main event that existed that was being built for that. They knew at a certain point, they knew that was not going to be the main event, which is really interesting. I would say, Punk versus Cena at Money in the Bank was one of the better built ones in recent history and built it over the course of like 2 weeks too. The Montreal Screwjob, which we've talked about before, we'll eventually have an episode like just on that, I imagine. That's a really important main event. And I would say a main event with a controversial ending that worked because it was real. And on the flip side, the most hyped match in the history of WCW, Hogan versus Sting at Starrcade 97, did not work because it had a manufactured controversy built in and just like muddied up this amazing build that they had. Oh boy. But that brings us to what the main event of WrestleMania this year is going to be. We're still one pay-per-view away from WrestleMania. And to me, it looks like there are three possibilities to end the show. Mm-hmm. Does that sound about right to you, Tyler?
Yeah, absolutely.
Which one, we'll kind of go through in order and say like why we think they might or might not be the main event. Which one do you think has the best odds of being the main event?
So I think the best odds is got to be the triple threat between Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair. Mm-hmm.
Which is not official. Officially, it's Ronda versus Charlotte.
Exactly. Now, there are several factors to why I believe this will be the main event. Number one, and this, like, as much as I love Becky Lynch or the storyline or something like that, number one reason is because I think Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Ronda Rousey is still, I don't even think you can argue it. She's still the biggest draw that WWE has to the mainstream audience. And they're gonna want her in the main event. of course, she wasn't in the main event last year. It was her very first Mania. It was like her first match. Mm-hmm. So it just wouldn't have been good business to
Although, retrospectively, if they had done that gamble, it would have paid off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Retrospectively, that match was the best match on the card.
Yeah.
But I understand, like, it's not good business to gamble that much on someone who's never had a match before.
Yeah, like Mr. T in WrestleMania 1. Yeah.
So I think, number one, Ronda Rousey, they're going to put her in the main event. Number two, just Becky freaking Lynch, man. Like, Becky Lynch is, like, I can't. No one has been able to compare what her current run is to anything besides Stone Cold Steve Austin in the Attitude mm-hmm. Era.
Which a lot of people have a problem with, because they're like, well, one's a beer drinking bald Texan and the other is like a fiery, take no prisoners, Irish last kicker. But there is similarities in the sense that they're both are having a similar storyline built where they are mm-hmm. irresistible fan favorites who are being... They're having obstacles manufactured for them by the McMahons. That is still the story mm-hmm. here.
And Becky Lynch won the Women's Rumble. I just don't think there's any denying Becky Lynch right now. And honestly, the third one, which I think is arguably a very good reason too, is WWE has been very forward with their women's evolution that they have been doing the last few years. And this seems like the next logical step. They've hit a lot of milestones in the women's evolution. The first time women main evented any pay-per-view, much less like a WrestleMania or something like that, any pay-per-view. The first women's Hell in a Cell match. The first mm-hmm. women's Last Standing match.
The women's pay-per-view.
The first all-women's pay-per-view of the first women's Royal Rumble. Like,
yeah.
This is the next logical step. Honestly, I feel like it's the only step next. Now they have women's tag team belts. Mm-hmm. The only next step for them is to have a women's match main event, the biggest show of the year.
And this is the one that makes sense, that doesn't feel forced. Like,
exactly,
it feels
yeah.
earned, quite exactly. honestly.
If Becky Lynch didn't exist and this was just going to be Ronda versus Charlotte, like, it would feel a little forced to me. It'd be yeah. like, yes, it'll be a great match and it's huge, but like, does it deserve to be the main event?
Mm-hmm.
But when you add in the Becky Lynch storyline and like her feud, not only with Ronda, but with Charlotte, like this match deserves to be the main event.
Their segment on Elimination Chamber was bananas. It was great.
Oh yeah.
It was fantastic. It was the best Amazing. Thing on the show for me, other than the main event of that show, which we'll get into. Mm-hmm. I want to say that I love Charlotte. I think that she's actually been better in the last like 6 months than we've ever seen her. Yeah. That being said,
random question. I actually want to throw on you right now. Yeah. And I want a quick answer. Don't even think about it.
Great.
Who's the better heel, Charlotte Flair or Ric Flair?
Rick. I still think it's Rick. I think Charlotte just is better as a heel than a face, but I don't know mm-hmm. that he has a big body of work.
He does. Yes. His body of work is massive.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man.
She's a great heel.
I think right now it is competitive, but I think by the end of Charlotte's career, she will probably have surpassed Ric Flair yeah. in terms of just accomplishments.
Heel work. Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
She may not be a 16 time women's champion, but
they'll get her there.
They'll get her there.
I think that she has been great, but almost every main event that we've mentioned so far in this history of great main events has been a one-on-one matchup. Mm-hmm. Do you think having the three of them here is the right decision?
I think it makes sense. I was torn when they first came up with the idea, because it was supposed to be Ronda versus Becky, because Becky won the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first introduced this idea of like, no, Becky's out, Charlotte's now in, and like all signs point to a triple threat match, I wasn't a huge fan of that, but not because it was going to be a triple threat match, more just the storyline you want to tell is just the McMahons causing trouble again.
Mm-hmm.
That was just kind of annoying to me, but I think that this triple threat match has all the factors you need. I think that Ronda versus Becky would be a great match, but Becky versus Charlotte is the better story.
Yeah.
And if although you just combine all of those, mm-hmm. there you go.
I would say they have been making the Ronda-Becky storyline has been pretty good in like recent weeks. Yeah. I think that this is a short-sighted fix that they're doing. I think in the long run, it would be really great to have the... It's like, don't you remember Ronda versus Becky and have like that in the video package? I'm sure there will still be moments in this match that are just the two of them in the ring. I think the fear and the risk is that it's rumored that Ronda is going to be done after WrestleMania. And in the past, when we've had people who we know are going to be done after WrestleMania going into it, that mm-hmm. no matter how good the build is for the match, that people just boo incessantly yeah. because someone's leaving. And I think when you have Charlotte in there, it makes it harder to boo the entire match based on the premise of Ronda leaving.
I think there's that. And then also it definitely doesn't give away the finish.
Yeah.
Because if for all accounts Ronda is leaving, like there's not really much suspense. Like we know Becky's going to win, yeah. but if you add Charlotte in the mix, like, there's no reason why Charlotte couldn't walk out of there with the title.
Oh, yeah. I think that's actually a pretty possible outcome, honestly, to totally, like, swerve it. And then you still have a built-in feud between Charlotte and Becky that can keep going.
Then you could run Becky versus Charlotte for another year till next Mania. Like,
they could be the next Rock Austin. Honestly, yeah. like, it's a feud that could go on in perpetuity. Yeah. Which I hope it does. Oh, I'm really excited for this match now. I'm actually excited for Fastlane, which I don't yeah. normally get excited for. But I, mm-hmm. I could also see potentially a match at Fastlane between Becky and Charlotte where the winner goes to the main event.
Okay.
You know, but we'll see. I still think the triple threat is definitely where they're going.
Yeah.
So I guess the second most likely main event would be Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar.
Yes,
especially if tomorrow or tonight on Raw, if Roman's involved at all,
mm-hmm.
how would you feel seeing that main event over Becky and Ronda?
I would feel cheated.
We did just go through like what the great closing image though could be.
Yeah,
of the Shield
and
or
I
the
think
Rock.
If they can.
If this is where WrestleMania needs to be two nights.
If they could somehow pull that together and we could have the closing moments of WrestleMania is Seth Rollins standing tall with Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. This is the last time we will see the Shield for we don't know how long. If that's where they're going, then I'm okay with that being the main event. But I just don't think that's where they're going. And my only other thought is, like, I really like Seth Rollins. And again, this goes back to me being like, I'm really stuck in my ways when it comes to certain parts about wrestling. And one of them is, if you win the Royal Rumble, you should be in the main event of WrestleMania. So if the main event is not either Becky and or Seth, then what's the point of the Rumble?
Yeah. And they've definitely cheated that a lot more yeah. in recent years. So, I feel like it for this to have a potential to main event, it has to have like all the members of the Shield involved. Otherwise, like
yeah.
you can't even use the Brock Lesnar gets eyeballs argument because Ronda probably draws more.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think Ronda definitely draws more than Brock. Those two are arguably probably the biggest draws they have, but I think Ronda is easily more than Brock.
Yeah. There's one more potential match that I guess could main event WrestleMania, and this would be the long shot. And it would be whoever Daniel Bryan is going to face for the WWE title. Now, it seems that Fastlane, we do officially have a singles match for the title between Daniel and Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston had the performance of the year. I know it's like early in the year, but it's had the performance of the year at the Elimination Chamber and at the Gauntlet match on SmackDown before it. So to catch people up, Mustafa Ali was supposed to get you know, this great...
Mustafa Ali was supposed to be in this position.
Yeah, he was supposed to be this guy hot-shotted to stardom. He had a really serious eye injury, got taken out, and Kofi Kingston got put in. And why this works is that Kofi Kingston, for on all accounts, is a good, actual person.
He's a 10-year veteran.
Yeah, he's got the New Day, which, you know, are the most popular gimmick that's been in wrestling for the last 5 years, and he's never won a title. And he got that crowd on their feet and made me stop what I was doing and be like, I need to only focus on this right now. And that would be a really fun opportunity that doesn't come along very long, where you can have a long tenured person who's never won get the title.
Yeah. And that's absolutely a feel good story for the fans. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea, because it's a story that everyone wants to cheer for. A 10-year veteran, someone who's put in the time and the work and dedication, someone who deserves the recognition for the work they've put in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And finally getting it after such a long, long time, like, that you can't not love that story.
Yeah, and it makes sense. But the fact that the match at Fastlane is the match that we're talking about, yes, is a straight up Daniel versus Kofi match, that makes me feel like this won't actually be the match on WrestleMania.
I'm inclined to agree.
It seems like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
The dirt sheets are saying that Daniel Bryan's likely opponent is Kevin Owens.
At Mania?
Yeah.
Ooh, a face Kevin Owens.
Yeah, with the idea being that Daniel's worked so well as a heel with his environmental, like, terrorist gimmick.
Uh-huh.
That Kevin Owens' recent kind of odd
everyman gimmick
of being like, I like fast food, I go bowling,
I like fast food,
being that they're gonna build him to be the antithesis of Daniel.
I get that, but like,
yeah, and I love Kevin. We know how much we love Kevin.
But
and on paper, that storyline works. Those vignettes have not been great so far.
They've been entertaining, yeah, but not WrestleMania main event caliber.
Whereas Kofi certainly has stumbled into something that works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like if Kevin is the opponent, then there's 0% chance that this main event's WrestleMania.
Yeah, I am definitely inclined to agree. I think if the only way I could see this main eventing, like, say Kofi does, and like, say they have an amazing match at Fastlane and they're like, okay, we're going to do it again at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
If in the build-up, Kofi somehow gets a fan following akin to exactly what Becky Lynch is going with right now, where
Daniel Bryan had before. Yeah.
Yeah, if WWE literally just can't deny Kofi, so that's the only way I could see it happening, but I think that is a long shot.
It's still a long shot. It would also, if that were the main event, it would mean that there's actual backstage concern over the state of Seth's knee and Becky's knee, which are both kind of wobbly at the moment. I really hope that somehow there's a false, or like a not real, finish to Kofi versus Daniel at Fastlane. Maybe they switch the title at Fastlane and then have the rubber match be at WrestleMania.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be super fun.
Mm-hmm.
But if the WrestleMania match is Daniel versus Kofi, and we have Seth versus Brock, and we have Becky, Ronda, Charlotte, I don't care what the rest of the card is. Like, those those three matches are enough to sell those,
yeah, those
main events.
That's
work.
A hell of a card right there, just those three.
Yeah. And then whoever Buddy Murphy faces will be the other main event.
Absolutely. Best kept secret, man.
It will probably be him versus Kushida, right?
Oh, that would be incredible.
Yeah, if that still somehow made it to the pre-show, I would be quite upset.
I would be genuinely angry.
Yeah. Well, so that's about all the time we have this week. We're getting closer and closer to Fastlane, closer and closer. Mm-hmm. To New Japan Ring of Honor G1 Supercard, so close to you guys coming up here and us having a fun little WrestleMania party.
Yes, looking forward to it.
I'm looking so forward to it. There's a horn that won't stop honking outside my window. They're really excited too. They know that they're on the road to WrestleMania.
Yep.
So yeah, stick with us. Make sure you watch Raw tonight. I think it's at least the opening segment is going to be really important.
Is Roman going to be the opening segment, or is he just a segment?
I feel like it's got to be the opening.
It's either going to be the opening and the closing.
Yeah. But he's.
I feel like it'll probably be the opener. That's a great way to get eyes at the beginning of the episode to potentially stick around for the rest of the episode.
So. Yeah, I agree. Do you have anything to plug this week? How did the show go?
It went awesome, man. It was a blast. We played a show last night in Richmond with two amazing bands. One of them is Railgun. They're a local Richmond band. Those guys are great. And then we played with this another amazing band from Charlottesville, Virginia, actually, Ruckus the Bulldog. I recommend you check both of these bands out. They're super great. It was a blast. Good show. We're working on second album still, writing some new songs. Hopefully we'll have some more updates as I go, but that's about it. Andrew, what's going on in the podcast world?
I plugged an episode that didn't actually come out last time we did this, but by the time you're listening to this, you are a day away from the first episode of the reimagined Harper Audio Presents podcast. So I will be interviewing Jerry Kraft on that one, author of New Kid. I got two more episodes in the can that you'll be really excited about, especially if you're into romance authors. Yeah. Interview Lisa Kleypas, and she was super fun. And then if you love gritty Southern crime literature, if you love Greg Isles, I also interviewed him yesterday, and that was an insane interview. He was a really fun guy. He's actually also a rock star too. He's in a band called the Rock Bottom Remainders. That's him, Matt Groening, Stephen King.
And what a great name.
A few other writers all in there.
That's wild.
Amy Tan, I think, was in it for a bit. It's crazy. So yeah, check out that. You can get it on iTunes. You can find it on SoundCloud. So without further ado, as a reminder, if you want us to answer your questions in the Kayfabe 5000, which will be back next episode, submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com. Or on Twitter at adowrestling, or you can email them to us directly, muchadowrestling@gmail.com, or you can leave them on Facebook. We're there as well, as Much Ado About Wrestling. So, as always, we're going to leave you in the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
Dig it!
That one was crisp.
Bringing back the bigot.
Yeah. I was expecting you to go with like a Bruce Buffer Mr. Wade Rumble.